Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
You know, I spend my days, for the most part, when I'm not leading worship, I'm a sales guy. I'm out in the business-to-business world. I'm traveling. I'm meeting. I'm doing that kind of thing. And anytime I step into an opportunity or a sales pitch, a presentation, I'm always thinking about what's the end goal? What do I want this company to say? What do I want this company to do? What's the action? Why am I jumping on a plane and flying up to the Bay Area to have a meeting and be away from my family? What do I want to get out of it? So I was thinking that same lines for tonight, along those same lines. And my prayer and my goal and my vision for tonight is that the message that God has put in my heart would ignite fresh passion within the hearts of the people that are here tonight to connect with the God dream for your lives that is unlocked through serving in God's house. Come on, you with me? You down with that? Perfect. So Dr. Matt introduced me. My name's John. My wife, Lauren, and I, we've been at C3 San Diego for 13 years. We do get the honor of leading the worship team up here. And if you see my shirt, see this shirt I've got here. Here's the thing. Here's the thing I need you to understand. Here's the deal. I'm not a Raiders fan. I'm actually not. What I am is I'm a recovering Chargers fan. Yeah, I know. So pray for me because there's something going on internally in my heart. When I heard the Chargers were leaving, the first thing I did is I ordered this Raiders shirt online. And so I'm praying to God. I'm like, God, is it matter that I'm so upset with Dean Spanos? God, you know what I mean? Like in sports, are you allowed to hate people? Like it's a sport. Yeah, so pray for me because for obvious reasons you can see. So actually, let's pray tonight as we step into this. Jesus, I thank you, God, for what you're going to do tonight in this place. God, I pray that you would ignite the God dream. Tonight, Father, I pray that every barrier, God, anything that would stand in the way of the men and women in this house of connecting with everything you have for them, God, I pray tonight you'd break through those things in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, Holy Spirit, I thank you you're here, you're speaking, you're moving. God, I pray you'd flow through me. God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of this heart, be acceptable in your sight tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to apologize in advance. So this is the first time I've ever preached at C3 San Diego. And so I'm a big Bible guy. I'm a big Bible guy. I feel like every good idea I've ever had in my life has come from the Word of God. And so literally, as I'm studying, which, by the way, preparing for a message, it's really hard. It's really hard. I'm like, this is a lot harder than leading worship. I'm like, man. So, but as I was preparing, you know, I had like 50 scriptures or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, I'll probably use some of these here and there because I'm kind of a flow guy. So I've got a basic idea. So I sent 50 scriptures to Paul Churchward and Brian up in the booth. I think he uploaded all of them. So, and if you look on the Planning Center plan, there's like, so yeah, so get ready. Hopefully you like the Bible and you don't like the Chargers. So this month, the series is Get in the Game. It's Get in the Game. And what I felt to communicate tonight is why. get in the game. If you're like me, anytime somebody says to me, hey, John, you should be doing this, or you should be doing that, or you need to do this, or you need to do that, because I'm a thoughtful person, I don't tend to be a yes man. It's not in my nature. I got sent to rehab when I was 16 years old, so it's not in my nature to just say yes to everything. So when somebody says, you should do this, you should do that, my natural inclination is to ask why. And tonight I want to encourage us that that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to be asking why questions of God. God is not intimidated. God is not insecure about the questions that you have about your life, about how the world works, about everything that's going on. So when we talk about get in the game, there's going to be some of us that are going, well, why should I? Why should I get in the game? What's in it for me? And the truth is that in the church, we oftentimes preach really heavily against selfishness. And we say you shouldn't be selfish, you shouldn't be self-focused, you shouldn't be these things. But the truth is that while you don't want to have all your attention on yourself, and you don't want to be going after things in your own life that's only for the benefit of you at the expense of other people, God has created us with a desire to have a great life. God has created us with a desire to have great things, to experience good things. So it's not bad to ask the question, what is in it for me? And one of the main missions I would say that my wife and I feel as the campus worship directors, and I'm going to go ahead and apply it to the preach tonight, is to break down religious barriers in the church. So when we lead worship, we try to just go crazy and break every barrier and do new things. Well, tonight you should expect something similar. So it's not about should. I had this thought before I knew Pastor Kayla was going to ask me to preach, and it was this, is that religion is all should with no why. Religion is all should with no why. If you're operating as just, you know, well, this pastor said I should do this, or this leader said I shouldn't do that, or should, we need to connect to the why. We need to connect to the why, what's behind it. And religion is all should with no why. So if it's not about should, then what is it about? And this is what it's about. And here's what I want to convince you of tonight. It's not about should, it's about reward. It's not about should, it's about reward. The why is the reward. So let's go ahead and turn, put it on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25 through 30. And my mission here in the next 30 minutes is going to be to minister to you because I want to pray. But I want to convince you that this is biblical and this isn't just a musician's good idea. So 1 Samuel 17, 25 through 30 says this. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? This is David and Goliath. Everybody heard of David and Goliath? Nod your head. Cool. Men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him saying, hey, you know, it's essentially, these guys are talking about these crazy awesome rewards. You get money and a hot wife, and I get no taxes for my family. And so he goes to confirm it. He says, hey, David spoke to the man. Who stood by him? What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. So the people reiterated, you're right, David, you heard correctly. You're going to get money, you're going to get a wife, the king's daughter, and your family's not going to have to pay taxes for the rest of their lives. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger got aroused, and he said to David, why have you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride, the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. David says, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, asking the question again, what shall be done for the man who kills Goliath? And the people answered him as the first ones did. Another scripture, Hebrews 12:2, the Bible says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. So let me back up to David. The Bible talks about David as being a man after God's own heart, right? If even David, the man who the Bible says Jesus is the son of David, and David is the guy in the Bible, if even he didn't just go out and kill Goliath. I should probably face you, huh? He didn't just go out and kill Goliath because it was the right thing to do. Okay, listen to me. A lot of us Christians, young people, older people, I get in trouble whenever I say old people, so I have to say older people. A lot of us are just, we're doing what we're doing because we feel like it's the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do. This is what I should be doing. But even King David did not go out after Goliath simply because he was upset that Goliath was defying the armies of the living God. That was not the motivation that David had to kill Goliath. That was his confidence. That was his weapon, but that was not his motivation. His motivation was the reward, was the reward. His motivation was the reward. When Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Jesus did not just endure the cross because it was the right thing to do. Are you catching my theme tonight? He didn't just do it because it was the right thing to do. He did it for the joy set before him. Jesus endured the cross because of the reward. Jesus endured the cross for the reward. The reason that we should get in the game this month in C3 Church, the reason that we should connect to the God vision in our lives is for the reward. It's for the reward. It's not to impress anybody. It's not to check off a religious box. It's not so that you can call your mom and, you know, she'll be happy. Great job. I'm so proud of you. It's for the reward. I got two more scriptures that are going to back this up. Hebrews 11:6 says this, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our God is a rewarder. I mean, how many of us that have been living the Christian life for a season of time and we've diligently sought? I remember I had a friend in Seattle and he'd tell me, I'm like, bro, are you crazy? He's like, I wake up at like 5 a.m. and I've got this bucket of water next to my bed and I kneel next to my bed and every time I start falling asleep, I'll just splash water on my face. Because it's like this, you know, he just felt like he needed to be this radical prayer warrior guy, and so often, which is great, no dissing that, but why? Like, what is the reason that you're like pushing yourself to this extreme limit? And the motivation cannot be a religious mindset that says, I'm trying to prove something, I'm trying to earn something, I'm trying to deserve something. It needs to be based on reward. Reward, reward. Last scripture on this thing, Genesis 15:1. God said to Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Our God is all about reward. See, some of this I wrote down, so some of it I'm just going to read. Ultimately, he's the greatest reward we could ever hope for. But he also wants to rain down blessings on our lives as we serve. As we serve. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If you're going to apply for a new job, you're going to ask the question about what's the benefits package? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? And I'm telling tonight, I pray that God shows you what's in it for you. I pray that he shows you tonight the picture of yourself at the next level. The picture of yourself that as you step and you get in the game, what that reward looks like for you. Come on. So benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Okay. So I'm gonna fully pull a Pastor Juergen here. I've got a bunch of points that I'm gonna try to get into, and I'm gonna try to get through them. So why serve? Why serve? Why serve? Why serve? Why serve? Why get in the game? I'm gonna give you 10 reasons. What? So I've been serving in church for the most part, not paid, for about 21 years. About 21 years. There's been a short seasons where I got paid like a little bit, but not since I've been in San Diego, which has been 16, 17 years. So the tell you a story. So so I got these points. Here we go. Point number one. See, the thing about a creative mind is my mind goes like this. I know. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So why serve? So when I serve, I experience the joy of God's presence. Reward number one for me. For me, I was thinking about what's kept me serving for the last 21 years. For me, when I serve, I experience the joy of God's presence. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 63, verses 2 through 3, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Bless you. I believe that was my daughter. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So when I was 19 years old, I became a janitor. Some people go to college. I said, janitor is my future. Going janitorial. And I was a janitor for about 3 years at a church up in Seattle. Dr. Matt mentioned Judah Smith. My claim to fame is I cleaned women's restrooms with Judah Smith. Oh, yeah, big time. And you know what? Disclosure, I just need to actually kind of lift, you know, the veil. There's a truth. I'm about to lose about half of my audience right here. The truth is, I was a janitor for 3 years. So I went into the depths, and I know women's restrooms are dirtier than. Nobody wants to admit it. It's the truth. Pastor Michaela, maybe it's just women in Seattle. You know, because they are less about, like, they're, like, more okay with, like, armpit hair and stuff. Well, maybe that's it. That's it. Yeah, okay. It's not true for San Diego. It's the Northwest. A little bit more granola. All right. Is that bad? Yeah, that's why. The granola. They're more granola. So I was a janitor for about 3 years. And the thing that I got out of my time as a janitor in this church, I remember... 3 years is a long time, by the way, to be a janitor, especially when you're 19 to 22. And I remember my time of being there early in the morning, and it would just be me and my janitor buddy who liked to splash water on his face. And I love it that I'm making you guys laugh. I don't typically consider myself that funny of a person, so when I connect, love you guys. And I remember being there and cleaning the pastor's offices or, vacuuming the sanctuary and just listening to worship music. Be big conferences going on and picking up trash and taking out trash or out in the parking lot. And the thing that taught me in those 3 years was the joy of serving in the house of God. Because at the same time, I was also leading worship. I was the main worship leader for the youth ministry, and I was doing worship on Sundays as well. And but it didn't. What I discovered is it didn't matter if I was up here or if I was down there, because I just learned the joy in connecting to laying my life down for Jesus. For Jesus. And I know it could sound like the right thing to do, but it's not. It's not. When you connect whatever that is that your hand finds to do, and you begin to do it with all your might unto the Lord and not unto men, there is a supernatural joy that begins to come on your life. And it's like an addiction. It's like an addiction. And so that's the first point. I got 9 more to get through. The second point, when I serve, I discover purpose. When I serve, I discover purpose. The second reward, the second benefit is purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." When I joined C3 San Diego 13 years ago, I met Pastor Andy, Pastor Jurgen in Guitar Center. I was working in Guitar Center. And they came in, and I connected with them and was talking to my girlfriend at the time, which, by the way, my wife looks absolutely stunning tonight. I need to honor her. I should have done that before. And we felt called to C3 San Diego. At the time, I was one of the main worship leaders at a church here in San Diego, and I was running the show. And coming to C3 meant that I was no longer in charge. I was coming under another man's vision. It was really whatever needed to happen. That's just what I was here for. And what I remember thinking and telling people during that season was that I didn't care that I was maybe in someone's viewpoint stepping down a rung on some type of a ladder that doesn't even exist. The thought I had was, I just want to be part of something great. I didn't care about what I was leaving, what I was losing, the title. I just wanted to be a part of something that is great. When we serve in the house of God, we discover our purpose. We discover our purpose. And of course, some of you could say, well, you know what? I don't have to serve the good works, John, that you're talking about in the book of Ephesians. I can do those good works at my job. I can do those good works at Pizza Port. I can do those good works wherever I go. And I would 100% agree with you that you can do those good works in a multitude of different places. But there's only one thing that Jesus said he'd build. There's only one thing that Jesus said he would build, and Jesus said that he would build his church. And if you look at the word church in the Greek, the word church means assembly. So Jesus said that he would build the assembly of his people. That's the one thing he said he would do. So when we connect to serving, we connect to purpose, and we connect to destiny, and that is a major reward. When I serve, point number 3, I step into prosperity. Psalm 35:27 says, "Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given to you." Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you." So I'm going to tell you another story. So my current career has been a journey exceedingly abundantly above and beyond I could ask or think. God has blessed my wife and I, and in a financial way that I didn't expect. Truthfully, I didn't expect. And my current career came about through serving in this house. So when I joined the church and I started doing worship, I was playing bass, I was singing a little bit. About 6 to 8 months in, I realized that the sound coming out of the speakers wasn't necessarily a very accurate reflection of the level of effort that we were putting in as a band, practicing, rehearsing, writing songs. And so talking to Pastor Andy at the time, it was like, this is really frustrating. Like, we're practicing, we're working hard, we're setting up, tearing down, doing all of this multiple times a Sunday. But if the sound coming out of the speakers is causing little babies to cry, right? If I can hear the lady in the back of the church playing her tambourine, right? During, that happened, by the way. Do you remember her? Tambourine lady? Don't bring your tambourine. Not playing. It's good teaching. Yeah. So it was bad. Sound was bad. So I went to Pastor Andy and I said, hey, listen, I would rather be out running sound than on stage leading worship, knowing that the end result of everything we're doing is actually going to help people connect to Jesus and worship God. So I stepped off the stage and I stepped into the role of running sound team leader. I think it was me, myself, and I. Maybe one more person. And I did that for about 2 to 3 years. For about 2 to 3 years, I led the sound team. And I didn't know how to run sound. I didn't know how to do it. So I bought books. I purchased videos. I went to other sound guys that knew what they were doing. I called local musicians and worship leaders and said, hey, could you come and listen to what we're doing and give us some feedback? We want to get this better and make it happen. And if any of you were there back in the gym days, the gym was a bit of a brutal atmosphere, but it was also pretty epic. Like, we had that place rocking pretty good. And so my point is prosperity, and I'm getting somewhere with this, is that one day a gentleman that was in our church came to me and we just started talking, and he was like, man, you've got this place sounding amazing. Like, this is unbelievable how we're in a gym, you've got a couple speakers on poles, you got these sound guys behind the desk that look like mad scientists, right? We're just all like, you know, it was so fun. And if worship was really good back in the day, we would like grab a chair and we would put it above our heads, and that's the way they'd know, you guys are killing it. Did you guys ever see the chair back? It's top secret. Yeah. But it was like the sign. And he came to me and he said, you know, he's like, do you have training? And da, 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 da. So that started a conversation with a gentleman who actually ended up being a regional vice president for a company called AVI Systems here in San Diego. And there was, long story short, I ended up going to work for that company because I had invested my time in serving in the house of God. And he recognized the gift, he recognized the quality, and the last 10 years have been ridiculous for Lauren and I in a great way. So, yeah. Number four, I got to move fast. Whew, buddy. When I serve, I get connected with people. Listen, reward, connection with people. Some of you are aching for relationship. You're aching for friendship here tonight. When you serve in the house of God, you connect with people. And because Dr. Matt is, the boss around here, I figured I needed to pull something from like a magazine or a doctor, something like that. So check this out. And I don't know. Yeah. I just Googled it, Dr. Matt. So, but I think it's accurate. Psychology Today study says that in the last 50 years, rates of loneliness have doubled in the United States. Does that sound accurate? Okay, that sounds accurate. In a survey of over 20,000 American adults, it was found that almost half of respondents reported feeling alone, left out, and isolated. I'm telling you, the devil would like nothing more than to isolate us in the house of God. We're here, we're present, but we're not connected. We're here, but we're not in a thriving relationship, life-giving relationship with other people. Tonight, I'm going to cut all this because I have more, but I'm going to cut this point short and just say that the Bible says in order to have friends, you got to be friendly. So tonight is your night, and I know that in the lobby there's sign up booth for volunteering for friends. There's a sign up booth for friends. Katie Duth, is it? Yeah, Katie Duth will be your friend. You know what? Katie Duth's an amazing friend. When I serve, I impact my, I hope I did this right. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna say this word and I hope I'm not embarrassed by it, but I think it's accurate. When I serve, this is reward number 5. When I serve, I impact my posterity, which I believe means my generations. Brian, you got a photo up there that you could show? I think I asked Paul, if we get a thumbs up or no thumbs up? No thumbs up. No thumbs up. So there's a picture that was floating around that I was going to show tonight. No big deal. And it's of my 4-year-old daughter, Tatum, who's sitting on the front row. And it just shows her. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It shows her in worship at Kids in Power. And it shows her just connecting in the sweetest, most amazing way. Listen, parents, and those that want to be parents and grandparents, when you serve in that house of God, it impacts generations to come. Okay, your kids, your family, your grandchildren are going to care way more about what they see you do than what you say. Right? So for me and Lauren, I mean, obviously that has so much to do with Pastor Michaela's investment into Kids Church and Nate and Kelsey Holmes and everything they do. But there's also a degree where my kids have seen Lauren and I serving in God's house, and it's part of their world now. It's part of what they do. Benefit number six, when I serve, I gain perspective. Anytime we get our eyes off of ourselves, serving in a lot of ways is getting your eyes off of yourselves and onto somebody else. And if you've never done that, and all you're doing is sitting in your house or in your car or at your cubicle, and you're just consumed with the bigness of your problem, the bigness of maybe a mountain that you're facing, when you come into the house of God and you serve, you gain perspective. Because you begin to realize that your problems, they're not actually that big. And the things you're facing, one of the biggest blessings for me in this house is the level of transparency and recognizing that the things that I struggle with and the things that I deal with, so do a lot of other people. And serving in the house of God brings that perspective. You're not alone. You're going to get through this. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay. I'm going to skip point 7. It was when I serve, I ignite passion. But I don't got time. When I serve, I receive power. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Show me just a raising of the hands. How many of you would say that you think it would be a good thing for God to show himself strong on your behalf? You think that would be good? The Bible says that he searches. He's actively looking, actively searching the whole earth for someone whose heart, we got the keys, I love it. This is my sister-in-law, by the way. She's single. But you got to go through me and Dr. Matt. Sorry, Sarah. I'll pay for that. I'll pay for that one at Christmas. God's looking for servants. God's looking for loyal servants. When we serve, God seeds a loyal heart. A loyal heart, where it's not, the keyboards just change everything. It's amazing. It's not just about, am I getting to do the thing I want to do? A loyal heart says, I can be down here picking up trash. I can be out in the parking lot. I could have to be here when everybody else is left picking up confetti. Have you guys ever seen the amount of confetti? How does that cleanup happen? It doesn't, the loyal heart says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And God sees that and he shows himself strong. And the things that you're dealing with, the things that you're struggling with, the things that you're fighting in your own strength, all of a sudden become non-issues. When you realize one day that, wow, God has gone before me. He's fought that battle. He's conquered that giant. He's adjusted that circumstance and that situation. When we serve, one of the benefits is we receive power. When I serve, I unlock potential. Point number 9, potential. Matthew 14, Peter didn't know he could walk on water. There's some of you here tonight, and you don't even know what you're capable of. You don't even know what's inside of you. And you're not going to discover who you are and what you're capable of, your potential, until you step out of the boat and you begin to follow the voice of Jesus speaking to you. Some of you are bored with life, and there's a question mark. Dads, wives, grandma, grandpas, kids, young people. Some of you are bored. God, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than this. School, friends, weekends, the beach. A lot of great things to do in San Diego, but you're bored and you're frustrated. And I'm telling you tonight that the key you may be looking for is serving and beginning to connect with what God is building. And when you do that, unlocking potential. And the next thing you know, you're on stage preaching at C3 San Diego. And you're traveling. And Dr. Matt says, hey, I need you to join me. I'm going to Australia. I'm prophesying for myself. It's so funny. That could have come across as really manipulative, but it wasn't intended to be. It wasn't intended to be. Number 10, when I serve, it gets personal. When I serve, it gets personal. I had this thought. I couldn't necessarily pull a scripture for it, but I believe it's truth. And that's, we will never feel closer to Jesus than when we lay down our lives. I think about what Jesus went through in the garden when he said, not my will, your will be done. When we lay down our lives, and that's our same confession, that's the same thing that we would say is, God, not my will. Lord, I really don't have a passion for, name it, whatever it may be, being in the parking lot, but God, not my will, your will be done. When we lay down our lives, we'll never feel closer to Jesus when we begin to relate on that level and connect to him on that level. John 15:15 says, no longer do I call you servants. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. When you serve, it gets personal. And when you connect with Jesus, you're going to love what he loves. And he loves his bride more than anything.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.